In the name of God who loves us, God who once walked among us, and God who spurs us ever on. Amen. Perhaps you've heard the story of the priest and his family who decided that for Lent one year, they would go on a spending diet. Finances had been tight, and they really needed to do something different. The season of Lent provided a good opportunity to begin a new discipline. They talked about places each of them could cut back. He agreed that he would give up eating out and would pack his lunch instead. She offered to give up her stop at Starbucks on her way to work. And they both agreed that they wouldn't buy anything they didn't absolutely have to have. It all worked well for the first few weeks. They had learned, they thought, to adjust to their new, more austere lifestyle. But then, one Saturday morning, the priest's wife came home with a new dress. "Honey, I thought we'd agreed that we wouldn't buy anything we didn't actually need," her husband commented. "Yes, I know," she said contritely. "But I saw this dress and I liked it so much, and when I tried it on, it looked really good on me. I'm sorry, I gave in to temptation." Well, you know, when you're looking in the mirror in the dressing room and that happens the next time, her husband said, you just need to say, "Get behind me, Satan." "I did that," she replied. "And Satan said it looks really good from the back, too." We're 4 days into the season of Lent, and it's probably a good time to ask ourselves how we're doing with the temptations we have faced so far. This morning's readings offer a couple of examples of temptation. One, a story of temptation given into. The other, a story of temptation resisted. We meet Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden this morning. God has placed them in the garden and provided everything they would ever need. God had only one requirement, that they not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it wasn't until looking through the passage this week that I realized that fruit is never referred to as an apple. It's referred to as the fruit. As a serpent, the tempter pointed out to Eve, eating this fruit would not result in their death. Rather, it would give them such wisdom that it would make them like God, make them equal to God. So Eve and then Adam gave in to the temptation. They failed to be obedient to God. They failed to put their trust in God alone. Like Adam and Eve, we humans frequently fail to obey God, and we fail frequently to put our trust in God alone. It's interesting, isn't it, that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," or in the contemporary form, "Save us from the time of trial." I think most of us would prefer to be spared those times of trial and temptation. Yet I think it's most often those times of testing and temptation that our true strength has a chance to emerge. Most of us would not choose those times, those life events that test us, that try us, but it's often in and through those times that we grow. I know those have been the times in my life, the biggest challenges in parenting, the death of a loved one, the most trying of relationships. Those have been the times when I have gotten clear that I must put my entire trust in God. Usually this revelation has come only after trying unsuccessfully to do it on my own. Trusting in my own power has failed. That has been humbling, and it has helped put me in my place before God. Temptation is part of the human condition. It goes back to the beginning of time, as Adam and Eve remind us. Yet I would rather not be led into temptation. But I am grateful for those times of trial in my life. They were at best no fun, and at worst terrifying when I was going through them. Yet I know I would be the poorer today had I not experienced them. At the beginning of this Lenten season, as we face our own temptations, it's a good time to look at the temptations Jesus faced, not just 4, but 40 days into his time of testing and deprivation. We recall that from the high point of his baptism, the time the Spirit descended on Jesus, identifying him as God's beloved Son and acknowledging him as the one in whom God was well pleased, that same Spirit led Jesus into the desert. Notice how abruptly Lent begins. Jesus goes from a place of being filled with the Holy Spirit to being empty and famished and alone. He went from the waters of the River Jordan, baptized and blessed, to the parched and desolate desert. He went from hearing, "This is my beloved Son," to, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Fall down and worship me, Satan." We too have gone from being filled with pancakes on Tuesday night to this time of Lenten fasting. In our biblical story, we have gone from the glory of the Transfiguration last week to the starkness of the wilderness testing in today's gospel. Our worship has gone from a joyful note to a somber tone as we began our worship this morning with the Great Litany. And we have to put a check on ourselves, at least I have to put a check on myself, so that I don't let an Alleluia slip out. We have entered our own wilderness. Nearly 20 years ago, I had the privilege of spending a month in the Holy Land. I loved 27 of those 30 days. It was the 3 days in the Sinai Desert that nearly did me in. I was shocked by how trying the desert was for me, by how frightened and vulnerable I felt. The Bedouin guides seemed to go in circles as they drove us into our campsite. I would have had no idea how to get myself out of the desert if my life had depended on it. The days were hot, 120 degrees in the shade, if you could find any. And the nights were cold, long underwear cold. I was terrified we would run out of water. I was more terrified of the scorpions. They told us if we were bitten by one, we could die within 20 minutes without medical attention. And I knew very well that we were far more than 20 minutes from any kind of medical facility. Needless to say, I didn't sleep all night. We recalled Bishop James Pike, who lost his way in that desert, ever to emerge. After the sunset, and especially after the moonset, I could see how easily a person could get lost there. It was very hard for me to put my trust in God during that frightening time. I can only begin to imagine how worn down Jesus was when he was tempted after 40 days in that God-forsaken place. Mark and Luke also tell the story of Jesus' wilderness testing, but this year we hear the story from Matthew. We recall he is writing for a Jewish Christian audience, and so he's intent on connecting Jesus and Judaism. Only Matthew mentions nights, saying Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. His audience would have connected this story with Noah's 40 days and 40 nights in the flood, and more especially with Moses' fast of 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai as he awaited God's word in the form of the Ten Commandments. Likewise, Matthew lines up the 3 temptations of Jesus with the 3 temptations Israel faced in the wilderness. Israel is the nation that was called Son of God. While Israel failed all 3 tests, Jesus responded to each one with unwavering faithfulness. Jesus proved himself worthy to be the Son of God, ready to take on the ministry God was calling him to. Let's look at those 3 temptations. The first one relates to hunger. The people of Israel had been wandering and complaining in the desert for 40 years. God was testing them, humbling them, trying to see whether it was in their hearts to keep God's commandments. God afflicted them with hunger to teach them that they don't live by bread alone, but by the every word of God. The people's grumbling was a sign they didn't trust in God's faithfulness. They didn't trust God would provide for them as God had provided for them in the past. They were more interested in their own wills than in the will of God. Jesus, on the other hand, was tuned to God's will. Though famished from 40 days of fasting, he refused to call on his divine powers to turn the stones into bread. Rather, Jesus depended on the word of God, quoting scripture to Satan. The second temptation has to do with putting God to the test. As the Israelite people wandered in the wilderness, encountering one hardship after another, they asked, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" God had promised to remain with them, yet they doubted. In the midst of hard times, it was indeed hard to believe God was with them. Satan tempted Jesus to jump from the pinnacle of the temple in order to prove that God would take care of him, in order to prove that he had divine powers. Jesus refused to give in to this temptation. Again, quoting from Deuteronomy, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Honoring God, Jesus knew, prevented him from putting God to the test. Idolatry is behind the third temptation. The people Israel were continually turning from God to worship other gods. For the mere price of worshiping Satan, Jesus could have ruled all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus remains faithful until the bitter end. Satan's goal in each of the temptations is to drive a wedge between Jesus and God. At the heart of sin is a drawing away from holy reliance on God and a turning to unholy independence. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and I believe this wilderness time provided him a time to figure out what it meant to be God's son. It was a time apart for him to discern how the ministry he was called to would take shape, to begin to imagine what it would look like. The desert time was a time for Jesus not only to be tested, but for him to test his call. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for temptation and for testing is the same word. Jesus was able in this time of testing to put his trust in God. He was able to be obedient to God's call. He emerged from his desert time a confident leader, ready to do the work God had called him to do. The season of Lent provides us with some time and space to consider who we are as baptized people, beloved sons and daughters of God, called to do God's ministry in the world. Lent is a time for us to be tested. It's also a time for us to listen for new directions, for where God might be calling us. What an opportunity for a parish in an interim time. The season of Lent provides us with an opportunity to pare down some of the things that take our time and attention. It's a time we can be more open and vulnerable to God's leading, to God's testing. It's a time we especially pray that God will transform us into the fullness of all God created and calls us to be. May we resist the temptation to follow our own desires, to trust in our own powers and abilities. May we trust in God's power, and may we learn to be obedient to God's call in our lives. Amen.